Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Simon, as if we didn't have enough to worry about with COVID and the third wave, I now need to worry about the East Rand poisoning us.
We live in an environment that, you know, is full of sort of various chemicals and so on, and every now and again, you know, the winds are such that that the levels become and for us that it's really to realize how important it is that that companies abide by environmental regulations.
So what is this gas? What is and what damage can it do to us?
It's probably, I mean, if it's that sort of rotten egg smell that we get occasionally, it's usually from a heavy industry that's out to the southeast of South Africa and of Gauteng rather, and over the Mpumalanga High Fells. And every now and again, with very, very stable conditions like we're currently experiencing, you can get a layer that sort of forms and sort of traps that down close to the ground. And so it'll be a stew of hydrogen sulfide, probably sulfur dioxide is in there as well, maybe some of the nitrogen oxides as well. Generally, as long as it passes in a couple of days, it's not going to have major health implications to the folks living there. But certainly if you are, you know, if your breathing is compromised anyway, particularly, you know, if you are heavily asthmatic or to dust and pollen at this time of the year, or indeed COVID positive, the sort of added strain that it puts on your lungs certainly doesn't help.
But we should be able to detect that it's there. Is that right? Because of that rotten egg smell. Don't think it's one of your kids. It actually could be this gas.
The rotten egg smell is very specifically hydrogen sulfide. And that's not particularly bad for you. It's very, very unpleasant.
Right.
But it's not that bad. The problem is things like sulfur dioxide, which you can't particularly smell, and certainly the nitrogen oxides you can't smell either. And those, you know, you can land up being exposed to quite high level without necessarily being aware of it. But with all of these things, I mean, at the sort of levels that you're experiencing in an environmental way, you're generally okay as long as it does clear. And the problem comes when you live in a place like Sasselburg and you're just exposed to high levels of these gases sort of day in and day out. And, you know, maybe right the way through your developmental years, you know, from birth to 15 or something, you're just never outside of an environment that isn't polluted. And those can have a measurable impact on your life.
How are our regulations here? I mean, in fact, it's probably a two-part question because our regulations in a lot of things are very good. It's the implementation that sometimes...
I mean, our air quality is actually managed pretty well. It's generally devolved down to district municipality level. And there's always, you know, professional technocrats who are in charge of these things. And I've had clients in the past who've been smacked with really severe fines, you know, business-ending fines. Not so much for exceeding the levels that they were allowed, but not having their paperwork in order and not, you know, abiding. You know, the regulations are all about making sure that you're monitoring things properly, that you have all the paperwork that shows that you've got the right equipment in place, rather than necessarily measurably exceeding the limits. Because obviously if you're doing all of the admin stuff right, you're doing the environmental stuff right as well. And I know of a number of businesses that have really been hit hard by breaching the law in that regard. So I think from an air quality point of view, generally we are quite good at managing it. That said, you know, the really, really big guys, Eskom, Sasol, those sort of guys, obviously they have really, really top environmental guys on their teams who are working very, very hard to make sure that they're as clean as possible. But the very nature of those industries are that they're dirty, and they're a major contributor to our air quality. And then there's the informal stuff, you know, people who don't have electricity or can't afford electricity who are burning all in their braziers and their stoves and that sort of thing. And that's a major impact to our air quality as well.
Should we be seeing an improvement as we move towards sustainable energy in terms of our air quality?
So we should certainly see an improvement from the formal power generation. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to see coal disappear from our power mix in my lifetime. But certainly, as cars become electrified, we're going to see an improvement in air quality. If you remember this time last year, with no cars on the road, Joburg was noticeably clearer than it is now. And a lot of that is just vehicle-generated dust. Certainly the stuff that's coming out of our exhaust pipe, you know, contributes to the haze that you see over Joburg at this time of year. So I would say electrified vehicles are a big, big opportunity for improving urban air quality. But then, you know, the holy grail will be in 20, 30, 40 years' time when we're no longer reliant on coal and all of it is renewable, and that'll hugely change our air quality.
Absolutely incredible. Simon Gear, that's where we're going to leave it. Thank you, as always, for making yourself available and chatting to us.